You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
First Nations listeners are advised that the following program may contain the names and voices of our mob who have passed on to the dreaming.
I wanted to have a bit of a yarn about fascism. I've talked about this as well a bit in the project before, but, you know, in particular, I wanted to draw my attention back towards the fact that Australia is a fascist occupation. Quite often, you know, people will forget that colonialism and fascism are one and the same kind of ideology, that they very much operate the same. We've had a lot of great revolutionary thinkers before me who have really gone into detail about these people like Aimé Césaire and Frantz Fanon and, you know, many other, in particular, many other African revolutionaries and other coloured people from across the world who have lived in colonies or former colonial occupations. But yeah, I just really wanted to like draw people's attention to just how fascist Australia is and how much it aligns with the fascism that we might think of when we think of fascism. You know, stuff like Nazi Germany, for example. You know, like Nazi Germany, you know, they mass detained many people, in particular the Jewish community in Germany. Yet here in this colony, we also have mass detainment. We've got mass detainment of blackfellas. You know, blackfellas are incarcerated at the highest rates in the world today. And throughout Australia's colonial history, we've also had stuff like concentration camps, you know, which are the missions and reserves and other similar projects that the colony has enacted over the last 250 odd years. You know, another thing that, really earmarks fascism in Germany, stuff like the kidnapping of children. Back in Nazi Germany, they kidnapped something like 1 in 40 Polish children. You know, a lot of kids taken. But yet today, and I'm not even talking about strong generations, I'm talking about right now today, 1 in 4 Aboriginal kids are taken by the colonial occupation. You know, 10 times the rate of fascist Germany. But that's happening right now today. You know, Germany as well, Nazi Germany, practiced stuff like, and apologies if I mispronounce his word, but Lebensraum, or the, you know, land grabs that they done throughout Poland and other European neighbouring nations of Germany. But Australia's whole foundation is based on the notion of terra nullius, which was just another land grab. Exactly the same as the Nazi Germans' land grab, except in this case, they stole an entire continent and all of its surrounding islands. You know, another thing that when we look at Nazi Germany, we see stuff like book burnings and the destruction of knowledge. Yet here, you know, same sort of thing. When we look throughout our history, Aboriginal knowledge has been systematically targeted by the Australian colony. You know, we've had quite a lot of laws in place throughout history that have done stuff like outlawed our language, outlawed the practice of our cultural practices and our cultural knowledge and the handing down of that knowledge. As well as the targeted eradication and slaughter of like people like our elders who were our knowledge holders. And the Stolen Generations very much ties into this as well. The severing of Aboriginal children from their community and from their culture and their knowledge in order to try and destroy that knowledge. Another thing is forced labor camps. You know, they had a lot of forced labor camps in Nazi Germany. We had forced labor camps here too. In fact, we had slavery here that didn't finish until, in some areas, the 1970s, you know, 150 years after the United States abolished slavery over there, we were still practicing slavery right here. Aboriginal people and our Kanak brothers and sisters from the South Sea Islands, as they're referred to by their colonial name, places like New Caledonia. You know, we've also got a lot of other earmarks of German fascism happening right now today. But, you know, especially on that forced labor stuff, ties very much into our mass incarceration. You know, mob who are incarcerated are often put into prison labor projects. And, you know, if you refuse to be a part of these projects, it can mean stuff like increased sentences or, you know, reducing the likelihood of early release on your sentence. And those prison labor projects, you know, some of them pay a couple of cents an hour. I think at most, I think you might be able to get like $2 an hour or something in some places across this continent. But even then, that's, you know, absolutely ridiculous. Can you imagine working for $2 an hour? You wouldn't do it. But yet these people who are targeted, my people, who are targeted with this mass incarceration, are put into these prison labor projects. Likewise, when we look at regional and remote communities, we see a lot of other forced labor projects in order to be able to access stuff like welfare. You know, I'm talking about your pay, your work for the dole schemes and various other schemes, especially in those regional and remote Aboriginal communities where people are, Aboriginal people are having to work, you know, several hours a week. And in return, they're getting paid welfare. They're essentially, if you break it down to a per hour rate, you know, they're essentially being paid at most a couple of dollars an hour, if not less. You know, there's also a lot of stuff here, like the similar party corporate collusion that existed in Nazi Germany, you know, exists here. You know, when we look at places like mining companies, for example, blowing up our sacred sites and our cultural heritage sites, and then colluding with the government to be able to, for lack of a better term, manage the outrage that happens as a result of that. We've also got, you know, Nazi Germany had police having power with impunity is another, you know, great earmark of fascism. And yet the police here, especially when it comes to Aboriginal people, they seem to have power with impunity. You know, we've had, I think it's over 600 deaths in custody now since the 1991 Royal Commission into Aboriginal Deaths in Custody. And none of the offenders, none of those murderers, have actually properly been brought to justice. You know, they've all essentially got away with it. Many of them even got promotions and pay rises as a result of it when they were, you know, shifted on to another station to quell the outrage in the community. You know, they were shifted into higher positions, quite a lot of them, or given pay rises. You know, that's the reality that we live under here. That is police impunity when it comes to murdering black people. Likewise, in Germany, they had stuff like the ghettos and the pass systems. You go out into the Northern Territory and Western Australia now, especially in those regional and remote communities, even in centres like Mpantua or Alice Springs, as it's known by its colonial name, and they've still got similar things. You know, there's still apartheid in those communities out there. If you're black and you walk into the wrong cafe or the wrong restaurant or bar or shop, you'll be kicked out. You know, that's apartheid. That's still happening today out in those regional and remote areas. And, you know, don't even get me started on all of the stuff like, you know, the way that they've set up their laws around stuff like alcohol. Now, you know, don't get me wrong, our mob, my personal opinion is, you know, our mob should as much as possible be abstaining from alcohol. But why is it that a non-Indigenous person can go and, you know, buy as much alcohol as they want and do whatever they want and, you know, get drunk in public and rah, rah, rah. But when a black fella, especially out in places like NT, does the same, they wind up in jail. You know, and out there as well, they've got whole systems where you have to provide stuff like your driver's license just to be able to buy alcohol. And then you go into a bit of a register and you're only allowed to buy so much per day or, you know, per week or whatever it is. And if you're found to be trying to get more, you can face prison sentences or you can face fines and a whole bunch of other things. You know, that's apartheid out there right now, today. You know, Nazi Germany had the culture camp against, you know, what they called undesirable religions. You know, likewise today, the Australian colony refuses to recognise Aboriginal beliefs, you know, Aboriginal religious and cultural and spiritual beliefs. They refuse to give it the same weight as any of the colonizers' religions that exist here on this continent today. You know, that's a way of further eradicating our culture and our belief systems. And in fact, you know, and I know examples of this as well. In fact, when blackfellas do actually get culturally and spiritually empowered and they start practicing these things, the government comes in and they label it a cult. You know, that's happened before. A perfect example of that actually happened up where I'm from, up near Nowra, where, you know, Uncle Bobby McLeod, he was somebody who was very much involved with the Aboriginal Ten Embassy and a lot of First Nations advocacy and fighting for our sovereignty and our rights and self-determination. But he set up a Aboriginal rehab up there for drug and alcohol. And the whole project was, you know, based out on country. And it was about You know, getting black fellas on the straight and narrow by, you know, getting them culturally strong and teaching them culture and getting them, you know, really involved in their culture and their community. And the government labeled it a cult at one point. You know, how's that? Our mob try and use our culture and our beliefs to get clean, get off the drugs and alcohol, and the government comes in and labels it a cult. You know, what sort of crap is that? That's the reality that we live in today here in so-called Australia in this colony. But yeah, I'm bringing this up because, you know, quite often, especially here on the so-called left in this colony, we hear a lot of people refusing to acknowledge that fascism is something that exists here and that is something that is very much empowered by the Australian colonial government. You know, something that is practiced by the Australian colonial government and its various institutions. You know, people refuse to acknowledge this. People think that fascism is the NSN or, you know, a bunch of these other working class idiots who don't know any better, who are out there, you know, on a Saturday or Sunday or whatever, you know, marching against immigration or marching against whatever it is they're marching against. You know, don't get me wrong, you know, there's fascist ideology there, but the actual fascists in power are the ones sitting down in parliament. They're the ones sitting in the corporate offices. They're the ones that lock up our people and steal our kids and implement these apartheid laws across the Northern Territory and WA and wherever else they've been implemented. They're the ones that are mass detaining us. You know, they're the actual fascists here in this colony. And people need to get with the program and people need to accept that and start to recognize that so that we can start to organize against the actual fascists instead of organizing counter-protest marches on a weekend, which, you know, don't get me wrong, have their place, but they're not actually challenging the real fascism on this colony. Look, I won't go into it too much more, but I'm just going to touch on a few other things, you know, because it's very relevant, I think. It's something that is still ongoing here. You know, we talk about the fascism in Germany and the, well, on the left, you know, they talk about the so-called lack of fascism in parliament here. But, you know, I just want to give a couple more quick examples, you know, like another real good example is how Germany plundered art and remains. I'm talking about, you know, the remains of people when I talk about remains. But, you know, there's a lot of that plunder that happened under Nazi Germany. Yet again, here, when we have a look in our museums here, the Australian museums, they're full of hoarded, stolen Indigenous sacred objects and artifacts, as well as our ancestral remains. You know, there are so many of our ancestral remains hidden away in basements and museums, as well as your unis as well. A lot of the unis have our ancestral remains hidden away in their basements, you know, as well as all of the stolen artifacts and, you know, sacred objects and whatever else that they've plundered from us. You know, it's a direct parallel right there. You know, another thing that Nazi Germany practice was the ideological litmus tests for stuff like artists and venues. Yet here, you know, they're a bit more conniving the way they do it here, but they've got the same sort of stuff here. You know, if you're on some sort of funding, you get funding gag clauses, and you get blacklisted from events and from performing and being able to have opportunities if you're an outspoken radical black fella. You know, it's the same sort of thing at the end of the day. You know, they've also, back in Nazi Germany, they practiced a lot of scientific racism and eugenicism. Yet the same sort of thing still happening here. You know, it's something as well that was practiced very strongly here, especially during the 18 and 1900s, when they had the so-called, you know, half-castes and quarter-castes and quadroons and whatever other labels they tried to give us to, you know, scientifically analyze us, as well as the whole eugenics programs that they had here. You know, I'm talking about the way that they used to ban marriages and outlaw marriages between black fellas, the way that they, you know, bit of a content warning from about to say, you know, the way that they very much raped our women to try and breed the black out of us. You know, it's something that very much happened here. You know, in many ways, it's something that is still ongoing when we look at the still continuing stolen generations here, as well as when we look at the violence against Aboriginal women. Aboriginal women in this colony are the people who are most likely to die in a domestic relationship. And when you look even further at the stats, the vast, vast, vast majority of those Aboriginal women who are murdered in domestic relationships aren't murdered by Aboriginal men. They're murdered by non-Indigenous, predominantly white men. You know, this is still happening here. The eugenics are still continuing here. The slaughter of our people is still continuing here. The fascism is very ingrained here. You know, it's the fascism as well that influenced so many other fascist nations throughout history. We look at South Africa and we look at the apartheid there. You know, something that I often talk about on this show, the parallels between here and there. But, you know, the way that South Africa directly modelled their apartheid on the white Australian policy and on the various different policies that were designed to subjugate and subdue and oppress and dispossess Aboriginal people here. You know, direct parallels there. And again, you know, when we look at Nazi Germany, you know, less so Australia, more so Turtle Island, but Nazi Germany directly modelled quite a lot of their policies on the colonial occupation of Turtle Island. And in fact, colonisation is such a despicable and disgusting act that back in Nazi Germany, they actually thought that some of the policies that were in place over across Turtle Island in the so-called United States, they thought that some of those policies that were in place were actually too harsh, too far, too racist. You know, it kind of tells you something when the literal fascists in Nazi Germany are like, well, hang on, these colonies are going a bit overboard with their fascism. You know, these colonies are going a bit overboard with their racial subjugation. You know, this is a people that murdered, 6 million Jewish people? And they thought that what was happening in the colonies abroad was a bit full on. You know, they didn't want to go that far. That's how bad are these in the colonies. You know, that's how disgusting these colonial occupations are. That's how fascist and apartheid and genocidal they are. Even the genociders in Nazi Germany thought they were a bit too much. You know, it really tells you something about colonization. And it really tells you something about the system that we continue to live under here. You know, it's something that really needs to be reconciled with and addressed and acknowledged by the so-called left in this colony. You know, all those people who like to call themselves communists and socialists and anarchists and radicals and revolutionaries and progressives and whatever else they like to call themselves. You know, the vast majority of them, though, fail to recognise that they live in an absolutely fascist colonial occupation, a genocidal hole. You know, that's where you live. That's what Australia is. You know, too busy marching against the NSN and whatever else to actually rise up and combat the actual fascists here, the ones that are sitting in the Labor Party and the Liberal Party, you know, the ones that are even in the Greens parties, the ones that are in your democratically elected governments, the ones that are in the mining corporation spheres, you know, stealing all our resources, blowing up our sacred sites, continuing to dispossess us of our land, you know, all the corporates that are in the military industrial complex here, you know, the ones that are still firing rockets over in places like Google for Country, still firing rockets and testing rockets and missiles on Aboriginal land, using our land as their bombing ranges so that they can refine their weaponry and then go export it to places like Israel to be used over there. You know, that's where you live. That's Australia. That's what Australia is. It's absolutely disgusting, genocidal, fascist colonial occupation. We're coming up to the end of the show. Don't go anywhere, though. Coming up next, we've got DJ Curly with Cultural Kinetics taking you through over the next hour with some deadly beats. A couple of quick upcoming community service announcements. So not this Sunday. I'm not sure if it's the next Sunday or the Sunday after. But Sunday the 16th of November, 3CR has their sporting record garage sale. There'll be plants and knickknacks and records and 3CR merch. That'll be happening on Sunday the 16th of November from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. in the 3CR car park at the rear of the station down here at the top of Smith Street in Fitzroy. There is also the Billabong Barbecue, which is advertised as, you know, come and join Mob for a weekly brunch and loads of fun. That's happening on Tuesdays from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Fitzroy Community Kitchen at 125 Napier Street in Fitzroy. They have allied health support, men's business, women's business, painting, bingo, day trips, cultural events, woodwork, arts and crafts, a bunch of other things as well. It seems like a deadly event that is being put on down there.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.